You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? It's, I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. It's, I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Latrice Ross, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America is afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning, Latrice. Thank you, Queen, for being in the saddle with me once again. It's been a while since we had you serve as your Queen of Intellect co-host role, but glad to have you back, Queen. Had a good time at the live experience with you last night. If you will, say hello to the intellectual outcasts out there listening, and we'll get our guest introduced as well. But again, glad to have you back, Queen.
Good morning, Montoya. Glad to be back and looking forward to today's discussion.
No, absolutely, and we'll introduce our special guests, two special guests here, Roosevelt and Renita Quick. Thank you, King and Queen, for being with us this morning, as we have a very interesting show from the standpoint of we're known for doing hard conversations on race, sex, and culture, but we rarely touch this topic, and we're glad to have both of you on. So if you will, introduce yourselves to the intellectual outcasts out there listening and give whatever background you would like to give as it relates to this morning's discussion question before we let the cat out the bag on that question. But again, thank you both for being with us.
All right, Montoya, I really do appreciate it. Latrice, nice to meet you. And I would just like to say we are Roosevelt and Renita Quick. We are transplants to the Atlanta, Georgia area from Dayton, Ohio. We lived in Dayton, Ohio for 30 years. And then back in 2020, we made the transition here to Atlanta, Georgia. So we're glad to be here. We have been married for 33 years. We were college sweethearts, and so that's just a little bit about us, and I'll let Renita share a little bit from her perspective.
Yeah. Well, we are, again, good morning, Montoya, and good morning, Latrice, and good morning, the audience. We are, again, Roosevelt and Renita Quick. We have three adult sons, and we are coaches, teachers, ministers, mentors, and we've done that for 25-plus years for thousands of couples that are married and unmarried, as well as high school students that we do relationship and marriage and relationship classes for. And so we're excited to be here, and we're excited to delve into this question about how God relates to marriage and whether he is in or out, or have we taken him in or out. So we're excited.
No, I love it. Glad to have you on. Again, we're not afraid of these hard topics, as I highlighted for some of the promotions into this week, that typically we touch politics. I keep it limited to a couple times a week because people are so kind of steadfast in their positioning. And then we typically stay away from religion because, one, it's so personal to people, and we understand people have their faiths and their beliefs. And so because we like to specialize in hard dialogue, the goal is that each, you know, we bring all sides to the table, if you will, and kind of have a gumbo conversation where we're actually trying to tune in and listen to one another. And so these are this is one area where I feel like people typically won't listen, but I think I have a couple of good guests to get into this conversation from all angles, if you will. And so this morning's discussion question, again, if you're a first-time listener, I do go by Black Socrates. We try to take the Socratic method, if you will, to any of these topics, in particular to the African-American community. And I think this is one of importance just in the sense that we're always talking about, if you will, the strength of the Black family. And so anytime that we can talk about the opportunity to strengthen families on any of or it is well worth the discussion. But to let the cat out the bag on this morning's discussion question, we have asked, have we taken God out of marriage? Have we taken God out of marriage? Latrice, you know how we like to start the show. And if you will, Roosevelt and Renita, y'all can follow lead. But the way we start the show is typically just to ask, what was the first initial thought that that came to your mind immediately when you heard the question worded this particular way? So we're not going to go too deep into the second or third thought, but just the initial thought that popped in your head when I said, hey, here's the show that we're doing. Here's the question. So if you will, Latrice, you know, I invited you as a special guest co-host, but when I said, have we taken God out of marriage, what popped in your head, Queen?
Are you sure you want me as a co-host?
Absolutely. That's exactly what you said. It didn't take you but a second to immediately respond to the question. So I was going to call you out if you had to say anything else.
No, that is precisely what I said. That is the first thing that popped into my head because,
No doubt. Let's take it back to Roosevelt and Renita. I'll ask y'all both the same question. I don't know if you had a time to, in a sense, contemplate or recall when you saw the question worded that particular way. What was your, in a sense, visceral reaction to that particular question? Roosevelt, Renita, either one of you can kind of give me your thoughts.
My first reaction was, I think that is a wonderful, wonderful question because from my perspective, I look at it as marriage is a institution that God created. And so I believe it is a beautiful question to ask and to dialogue about.
No, absolutely.
And my first response was, wow, we just gonna dive and jump right on in there. So I think both of us have been really excited about just approaching the topic and, just the way that we feel is best to be able to share from our perspective as well as hearing the perspective of others.
No, I love it. And, I think I may have kind of broke it down to you, Renita. And for those that don't know, I don't do a lot of preparation with my co-hosts. I don't think I really even describe this to a lot of the listeners or whatever. And those that have been listening for a long time, I think they've picked up on this. I don't do a lot of preparation with my co-hosts or with my guests. Now, I prepare for the show, and people know that very well, just based on how we do the show. But I like to get people's real raw reactions. So if you are a first-time listener, what you're about to hear is really our first time talking about it, other than my guest as well as Latrice hearing the particular question. However, I did highlight, and I'm pointing this out because I typically don't even do this, when I spoke with Danita, understanding their position with Enduring Love Ministries and things of that nature, I just highlighted, I said, hey, we don't typically touch this subject, don't mind touching it, but just understand it's going to be a full conversation in full context, and we're just going to dialogue about the subject matter from each other's viewpoint. And so hopefully for those out there listening, as I highlighted into the show, we typically don't touch religion, if you will, and not saying that this is particularly a religious show, if you will, but I'm just highlighting that we're just having a dialogue for all perspectives that are out there in current time. So that's where I even came up with the question from the standpoint of, as Roosevelt said, from his position, marriage is an institution that came from God. I asked the question in particular current times, it seems from my viewpoint that God has been taken out of marriage, even me growing up in, if you will, a Southern Baptist church, hearing marriage being under that covenant, if you will, and I see marriage in a sense, God seems to not be in marriage in general from a societal standpoint or less involved, if you will. So that's kind of just even giving some background on how I came up with the question. So we are going to go to our first quick initial break. We're going to hear a cut from Umar Johnson. If y'all know who he is, he will set this off and we will get into current discussions about this question based on this cut, I believe. So the first, again, the question for this morning is, have we taken God out of marriage? We will be right back. I see a caller out there on the line. If you're online and want to get in on this morning's discussion, you can join us at 646-787-1110. 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. And you have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back, where all I ask is that you think.
Calling all married couples. Have you planned your Valentine's Day weekend getaway? If not, we recommend you reignite your passion in your marriage at the Oneness Experience Weekend, February the 16th through 18th, 2024. Brought to you by Enduring Love Ministries, hosts Roosevelt and Renita Quick, authors of The Power of Agreement and 30 Years of Marriage Experience, ask couples to reconnect, rekindle, and recommit to their marriages. Are you yearning for a deeper, more purposeful connection in your marriage? If so, the Oneness Experience is for you and your spouse. Taking place in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, experience an anointed weekend with plenty of couples activities, marriage enrichment sessions, such as the strength of seduction, and ample quality time together. Again, the Oneness Experience Weekend takes place February the 16th through 18th. For registration details, please visit Enduring Love Ministries International at elmintl.org. Again, that is elmintl.org. Tickets are going fast.
The black church caters to the black woman. And the reason the black church caters to the black woman is because the black woman is the provider. She has more income and education than the man. So they look at this financially. They also have a vested interest in her never getting married. The pastor is the metaphorical husband of all the single women in the community. I'm not saying he's sleeping with them. I'm saying he's keeping them so distracted with Jesus that they never find a husband, and that's the way he wants it to stay. Because if she finds a husband, she won't have as much time to be donating to the church home. Wow. So the black church benefits from single motherhood. They don't want our sisters married because their pockets would go down.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Latrice Ross. This morning's discussion question, have we taken God out of marriage? Our special guests are Roosevelt and Renita Quick. Thank you both for sponsoring today's show. We'll get into the Oneness Weekend a little more later in the show, but just wanted to thank y'all for sponsoring today's show. As we just heard a cut from none other than Umar Johnson. Not sure if y'all are familiar with him, but he was actually on the Hardly Initiated podcast, and he was highlighting a sentiment that I feel like I've explored really years ago, maybe 20 years ago. There was this thought that, hey, there was a lot of less men in church, and this is a dynamic that I heard him speak to recently that I kind of knew seemed to exist. And people would have discussions kind of outside of the church, if you will, about less men being in church and the role of the pastor in church. And so I thought that was a good way to kick off this morning show of have we taken God out of church. But both of you, as your special guest, what is your reaction to hearing a one Umar Johnson throwing out a sentiment that I think has been around for well over 20 plus years in the sense, the current sense of how I see the church as a whole and those thoughts existing about the role of the pastor today in their constituents' lives, if you will. Y'all thoughts?
Very, very good. So the first thing is I thought about it, and even as you talk about a sentiment that maybe you've heard grown or become more, people becoming more accustomed to over the last 20 years, I think about what has been the history of the black church, you know, going back and just more recently. I'm just thinking about, and again, I know this is kind of taking it off the context of marriage, if you will, but in terms of what was the role of the black church in the black community, but if I think about it is, education was a huge role for the black church in terms of when we could not go to schools to be educated, where did we get our education? When we could not hold roles in the communities, leadership roles, where were those areas where we could have that sense of coming together, educating ourselves, when we did not have the institutional structures to support us? It was the black church that was there to provide that foundation, to provide that instruction. And even as I think about the civil rights era, I just think about, we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day. You know, do we forget that Martin Luther King was a pastor? And so from that perspective, he was a leader in the community. And so rather than focusing on, you know, and I will be the first to admit that there have been abuses. And for that, I'm deeply saddened by people that have been hurt, where people have been hurt or turned off or turned away, misled in some ways. But that is, I think those are instances where people are living contrary to the doctrine that they purport to believe, which is that God is love and that God loves us and that God has a desire for us to be strong, to have abundant life. That is what God is really, what the intention is. And so when we miss that, or when we're living contrary to that, I think that's where we get into trouble.
And also, I think also when pastors, ministers, teachers, whatever, are teaching contrary to that, then clearly that's when you're misleading your congregation, you're misleading those people that are following. And so I think that is what, again, leads to the way that people are seeing the church today, the way that people see even, you know, the church in context of marriage, is that there has been misinformation and misleading by leadership, which is very, very different from what was happening in the early church as well as the Black church initially, I believe.
And one thing I'll just say is this. Just because something is counterfeited, I will put it that way, if the truth is counterfeited, that does not negate the truth. It just means that we have to get back on track. And I think from that perspective, you know, I'm hearing what Umar Johnson is saying is that there are not a lot of men in church, and you know, for one reason or another, that the pastor is just trying to keep people distracted. I think if anyone is of that opinion, if they see that is what's going on, I think that is clearly not what God is, the intention is.
So let me jump in if I could, Roosevelt, if I could jump in on you real quick, and I want to get Latrice's thoughts as well. And so just along the lines of what you just said, I do understand that, you know, again, from your perspective, there's, in a sense, counterfeiting, or you're saying that's not what the teachings are, in a sense. I'm just saying, if you will, outside looking in, seeing less men involved, even if it is from, if as you say, counterfeiting, that in a sense becomes the reality that there, in a sense, or can be, or is seen as a bunch of women in church without men who, quote unquote, can't find husbands. And I'm using Umar's context to say that. I'm not saying these are my thoughts, but I'm just highlighting that even if you're listening to even what both of you are saying, y'all are saying, hey, well, it's not lining up to be what the church wants. We're still speaking to the reality of that's how it appears, and that ends up, if you will, somewhat falling on the church. Latrice, your thoughts, or do you understand kind of what I'm saying as far as the reality? While I understand their differences, hey, that's not how it's supposed to be. I think the reality is playing out for someone like a Umar to jump on it and kind of add that context, whether he's correct or not. It does look that way, is kind of what I'm saying. Latrice, your thoughts, Queen.
And I'd actually expressed similar sentiment years ago, that the Black church is contributing to Black women being single, not necessarily from the same perspective, but when you look around the church, it is more women than men. And unless you are at a more progressive church, the values espoused are not very modern. They haven't adapted to the times. They haven't kept up with the times. There are distinct gender roles where women are typically believed to be in subservient positions, and you know, that actually is a big issue in dating, having been divorced and dating within the last few years. I was often asked, are you submissive? And when I would ask for a definition of what that meant, they couldn't provide me with one. So they are taking bits and pieces of what they believe to be church and trying to apply it to relationships and don't even know how to define it. So I do believe that the church is a big contributor to when Black women remaining single. Particularly those who are staunch in their beliefs.
Okay, let me challenge you real quick, and then I'll get Roosevelt and Renita back on this as well. So my challenge is, I hear exactly what you're saying, but again, just how I'm just listening to you, and as you say it, then if, you know, maybe that's the issue particularly for you, but in a sense, if that old teaching or those ways that they're holding on to, and like you said, being submissive and what does it mean and that type of thing, if that is the teaching, then why are there so many women in church versus there are no men? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like it kind of goes counter to what you're saying in the sense that the teachings are saying, hey, women should be in this place. But to Umar's point, and, you know, again, my own observation is there are, seems, at least in the Black churches that I've been in, there are a lot of women and not that many men. So that teaching that you don't like is there, but plenty of women are in the church. Any thoughts on that? And then I'll let Roosevelt and Renita jump in as well.
I think that women are there because they're looking for a place to help with the hurt, to help to heal them, and that's where they go to find that. Because being Black in this country is difficult, but being Black and a woman adds an extra layer of oppression to living in society. So I think that women are seeking a place where they can heal, they can find solace, they can find hope, whereas men don't necessarily find that appealing. They don't find it appealing to sit in church on a particular day of the week for a few hours. They don't find it appealing to read a book that was written, you know, allegedly written thousands of years ago. So it's just not for them, I suppose.
All right, I respect that. Roosevelt, Renita, y'all thoughts as well. Go ahead.
You know, to Latrice's point, I think there's a different reason why women attend church and what they find in church that meets their needs versus why men attend. And you know, a lot of times the question, and because we do coach couples, but then I do coach a lot of women, and many of them I've coached for years or mentored for years, and it's the reeducating, and it really goes, Montoya, to what you were saying, is why would you continue to be in an environment that is not producing and giving you information that helps you to move forward? Yes, you're looking for that. But you got to find the right place. You got to find that place where you are progressing, where you're moving forward, where you're getting the word and where you're getting instruction that is not working against you. And, I mean, we can recognize when you're sharing something or you're giving direction that is not productive in my life. And so why would I continue to stay in that environment when they are, all of us know, there's a church on every other corner. So why would I continue to stay in that environment that is giving something that's not life-giving is really what my question would be. And that's a question that I've had to kind of resolve with many of the clients that we've had as we're redirecting your relationship, not just with the church, but your relationship with God.
Roosevelt, if you will, I grew up in the Black church or whatever. I don't really attend anymore just to, you know, keep that. I go home with my mother, of course, I'll definitely go with her, if you will. But in my opinion, I think there's, even if as I'm listening to both of you and leading to what Renita just spoke to, I still think the majority of churches are this demographic. So would it be fair for me to think that the majority of churches are missing the boat, where people, like Latrice just said, from a different perspective than Umar mentioned, but even in her perspective, she felt like the church was doing things that keeps Black women single or whatever. And today's conversation is, you know, about marriage. So we're seeing this that demographic. At least when I was attending churches and going to different churches, I seemed to see this demographic everywhere. The men were not there. A lot of women were there. So is there any truth to, in a sense, that something's missing within the church that actually drives this dynamic, which would be outside of what the church, you know, talks about in the sense of wanting people to be married and have strong families. And we know how much our community needs that, has the, in a sense, in general, has some aspect of the church lost that element, that they're not helping assist, even in the way that you mentioned historically, the role that the Black church evidently played in our success as a culture, played a huge role. And sometimes we don't give the church enough credit in the role that it played. In this instance, not having families, we know, is a detriment completely. And we would hope that, in a sense, the church would assist with that. I'm not saying the church doesn't. I'm just highlighting that that demographic seems to be so consistent. Just, is it fair for people to say the church is keeping people single, if you will? Is that a fair thought based on that reality, in your opinion?
That's a good question. I'm really wrestling with that even now. And certainly I've had personally, I can, I'm just speaking from my personal opinion, my personal experience. I've had excellent experiences with the churches that I've been a part of. There have been men that are strong from the perspective of teaching men how to be men, how to take responsibility for themselves and for their families. You know, when I think about, you know, I think about the people that have impacted my life. Even when I think about early in our marriage, when I had questions, I was able to go to men who had been married successfully and get information on how to treat my wife, how to be a father to my children. So I personally have had very good role models. And so I can't speak to everybody's experience, but I can just speak to my experience.
No, I love that. I mean, just even me preparing for this show, I ran into a young man, just highlighted, hey, I got the show. You know, I'm always promoting the show or whatever. And maybe it was just a day or two ago, and I was highlighting that this was the topic for the day. And the young man, similar to yourself, was saying that him recentering towards God, if you will, really, really helped him. And he's a young man, just, I don't know how long he's been married, but I would assume not that long, since he's young. And he highlighted, similar to you, just that it helped recenter, and it made a big difference inside of his marriage. And I've heard plenty of men with those same sentiments. So yeah, to your point, I'm definitely not highlighting all one way or the other. Again, we're just kind of dialoguing, you know, through this, if you will. But again, another aspect of current times in reference to, have we taken God out of marriage? Here's a general question. I'll start with you, Roosevelt, on this as well. Just in the sense of, I have another sentiment that, in general, it seems like, in my opinion, churches of the day seem to cater to current societal sentiments versus, in my opinion, even sometimes holding fast to their doctrine, in a sense, kind of catering, if you will, to current times. And I think that may even be playing a role in what's lost. Again, that's just me generalizing from my perspective. Roosevelt, if you give me a thought, we got about a minute and a half for a break. So if you will, just keep that in mind. I'm going to have to go to break before you finish your thought. Go ahead, Roosevelt.
Well, can you repeat the question again? I didn't quite.
Okay, no problem. I'm just generalizing that, in my opinion, that I feel like current times, when I was in the sense in church, it seems like the church seemed to cater to current sentiments instead of, in a sense, holding fast to the doctrine that maybe they spoke to in the past that benefited families. I think some of the catering, in my opinion, generalizing here, has played a role in what we see today. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or not. Now we got about a minute for a break, if you want to just throw something out real quick.
Yeah, I would agree with that, that catering to current society necessarily, trying to change the message to meet society, I think we have to apply the principle that is taught in Scripture to the society, but I don't think you adapt your doctrine, so to speak, to society.
Yeah, and I'm just generalizing that I think some churches have fell victim to that, just from, again, outside looking in. 912, last 913. Yeah, 913, we will get to you after this cut. This is kind of a long cut talking about the history of marriage, if you will. So we'll get all of y'all thoughts on that. And 912, we will get to you out of this cut. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
For most of history, the most preferred marriage form was not one man, one woman, but one man, many women. That was throughout the majority of cultures in the world, and it's the one most referred to in the first five books of the Bible. And in fact, through thousands of years of history, the theme song for most weddings could have been "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Marriage was something you did in order to make alliances, to expand your family labor force. That was the main way they signed peace treaties. Through the ages, the story of Antony and Cleopatra has come down to us as one of the great love stories of the world. So not a love story. Antony and Cleopatra belonged to the two most powerful nations in the world, so the idea was, how do you get this alliance? As societies became more complex and marriage was such an important political and economic institution, there were these huge battles between church and state over who could validate or invalidate a marriage. The Catholic Church was kind of unprecedented by saying, first of all, that you have to have monogamy, and second, you can't have divorce. And it took 9 centuries for the Catholic Church to win and establish monogamy. The love match began to emerge in the late 18th century and began to be accepted. So the first draft of the love match, so to speak, involved redefining women and men as total opposites. Women became redefined as virtuous and moral and asexual. Men were expected not to cry, not to take care of emotional things, and to become the strong male economic providers. So a woman was supposed to now fall in love before she married, but she had to marry somebody who could support her. So even after men and women were supposed to marry for love, for the next 150 years, it was very hard because marriage was still about the dominance of men over women. In the 1950s, the advice to a woman was, pretend you're interested in your husband's work. Don't tell him about your day at home. He won't be interested in that. So it's only recently that we have tried not only to build marriages that are based on love, which was itself a radical recent invention, but to build marriages based on equality, which we've only been trying to do for the last 40 years. We're doing it without any roadmap.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Special guest co-host Latrice Ross. This morning's discussion question, have we taken God out of marriage? We got a couple of callers that want to jump in. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Our special guests are Roosevelt and Renita Quick from Enduring Love Ministries. I'm going to jump 912 in before we get to the cut because I think they wanted to respond before the cut was even played. So let's see what they have because I don't want to take us off track. Area code 912, last three, 913. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Peace, family. This is Coach Vaughn, a.k.a. the Love Alchemist. Can you hear me?
Yep, coming through loud and clear, Brother Vaughn. Thanks for calling in. Again, I wanted to jump you in before because I think you had maybe you had raised your hand prior to the cut, so I wanted to kind of see what you had before we jumped into that cut.
Yeah, I think, honestly, man, I think our outcomes are a direct reflection that, not just ours, but all outcomes are really a direct reflection. Either great purpose or great neglect has taken place. And the condition of our marriages and our family is an indication that the church, by and large, has failed us. And I say the church because, you know, up until recent years, most of us were avid churchgoers. or a large percentage of our collective. And so I think part of that can be attributed to loose standards in the church, weak grooming and weak training, and I would go so far as to even say insufficient support for healthy marriage and the maintenance of a healthy marriage. So we're not developing the product that we want to see as an end result. And you can't just let people get to the stage of adulthood and without training and then expect healthy marriages to be the result of that. That starts at a very young age. And I think we've gotten into the point, we've gotten into the habit of thinking that we're raising children, whereas in reality we're raising somebody's husband, somebody's wife, somebody's mother, somebody's father. And that mindset takes on a whole different type of rearing, in my opinion.
No, I got that. Let me say this, and I want to hear Roosevelt and Renita respond to you. Let me just throw this out, Brother Vaughn, just in hearing you say that, and you kind of say, the church has failed us in a sense. Do you feel like some of what the church has experienced is the aspect of, I would say, unwed single parenting, in the sense that when you say there's a loss of training, I would assume eventually – just like the rest of society, there was a decaying in the sense that maybe you started not having enough families to be able to train the rest of the families inside of the church. Because, you know, to your point, I grew up as a church goer, whatever, and our culture has moved away from it. But I'm saying some of it may just be evident to how the society moved as well, and the church was somewhat susceptible to that. Your thoughts on that real quick, and then I want to hear Roosevelt and Renita have to say.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, you know, you can't just pin all of this on Black America or Black church. When America catches the flu, I mean, a cold Black America catches the flu. So, you know, what we're seeing in Black America is really indicative to what's going on a larger scale in America, albeit to a lesser degree.
I respect that. Roosevelt, Renita, any response to what Brother Vaughn had to say?
I really like what he had to say, and I really do agree with that. To a large degree, if we have not been raising people, you know, supporting people with you know, teaching and support for marriage, so that they can have a successful marriage, and so I agree a lot with what he said.
And I think that's part of the reason why the whole growth of those of us that are coaches, that are counselors, that are mentors has become necessary, because there was something missing in the church, outside of the church, that there was just not that support there. And so, you know, coaching became a avenue, mentoring became a strong avenue by which young people are being taught. You know, one of the areas that we have taught it in the past for many years is a program called Go for the Gold, and it's for middle school and high school students, where we're teaching them healthy relationships because they don't know what a healthy relationship is. And to the coach's point, it is going back and raising individuals in society to be good,
productive
citizens that then leads to, you know, good marriages and good relationships and so on and so forth.
Let me jump in,
Roosevelt, because I got to jump around if you don't mind. Sorry about that. But I'll say that, a couple years ago, one of our top shows in 2022 was Why There's So Many Damn Relationship Coaches. And that was the sentiment. Mm-hmm. It's so necessary because we're not getting it. One, partly naturally within families, and there's so much brokenness that there is, to a degree, a need. Of course, you got to figure out who's teaching the right information or not, but that was one of our top shows. Latrice, before we go to another caller, I definitely wanted to hear your thoughts. I know it was a lot said in that cut that broke down a lot of the history. The one thing that stood out to me, and that was that it took 900 years for monogamy to kind of win its way, if you will, just based on how humans reacted historically with marriage, compared to after the Catholic Church, in a sense, won that battle between church and state. But anything in that cut that stood out to you that I think is obviously part of this morning's discussion? 303, we'll get to you in a second. Go ahead, Queen.
Well, part of it, you know, we can talk about the monogamy part of it. I do like that we go back and highlight that marriage didn't start with the church. because it started as a business arrangement, a transaction, and then it evolved, particularly in the Western part of the world, into this thing where you love someone, so you marry them. But as it relates to monogamy, and you said historical, even by today's standards, there are still some who are challenged with monogamy. So let's be clear about that. One of the reasons why I'm divorced. But I do think that when marriage began, it allowed those base level urges to continue. And modern day beliefs around monogamy is asking folks to suppress those urges that are a natural part of physiology, of who we are physiologically. And so, you know, while we expect monogamy, we profess that I'm going to love you and only you, from a physiological perspective, our bodies may still be attracted to others, and it's just how much or can you or are you willing to suppress those urges. So while the Catholic Church may have won the battle of getting folks to say they were going to be monogamy, that battle is still being waged.
No, absolutely. Let me say this. And if you will, Latrice, I'm going to have you call back in because we're getting a little feedback from you. It may be the same way when you call back in. But if we can get it, if it works, I want to see if you could call right back in, if you will.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And so something that she said, and I've always thought about this as well, is, and actually it might be me that has the feedback. I thought it was her. I still hear it a little bit. All right. So let me see if I can pause real quick. I'm just trying to see if I can get rid of that feedback. All right. Let me see here. Testing. Okay. It might have been me, Latrice. Let me bring you back in as well. I think it may have been me, actually. All right. Sorry about that, y'all. So something that Latrice said, and I've said this for years, is the thing about people deciding to get married later, because now we're at the average marriage rate for men is 28 and for women is 27 or something like that, which is kind of the oldest that society is choosing to get married. And so I think the thing that the church has never considered is, as people decide to get married later, you are asking people to unrealistically suppress, if the doctrine is remain, if you will, virgins until marriage, you're asking the, in a sense, humans to suppress a natural propensity to have sex for longer than's ever been asked, because our grandparents got married in their teens and that type of thing. And sometimes my mother was, in a sense, wasn't married when I was born. And I remember when she got pregnant, that was just, you know, way back in the 70s, this idea that she would go ahead and marry my father, because that's what happened a lot of times. If you got somebody pregnant, you would go ahead and marry them. And again, she was very young, but this is starting to be when people didn't get married in their teens and whatever. And so my mother and father did not get married. And that has kind of been the sentiment that the church doctrine is, hey, you should make, you know, as the cut said, as the woman, you have to be pure and all these type of things. But if somebody's getting married at 35, is it realistic that they follow that doctrine? Renita, Roosevelt, either one of y'all can jump in, then we're going to go to a caller.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I wanted to even address from the cut was that the author was referring to the Catholic Church, and she was referring to, you know, the origination of marriage. And from our standpoint, and again, this is from our viewpoint as Christians and from a biblical view, is that when God created marriage with Adam and Eve, it was monogamous because it was the two of them. And it wasn't about love, because when you read in Genesis, there was nothing about Adam and Eve being in love, and that's the reason why, you know, they came together in marriage and consummated and all of that. And so what has happened over the years in society, as we define that and as we put the parameters around that and how marriage should be, how marriage should be and what it consists of and what it consists of, be happy and so on and so forth, we get into those conversations about what we think marriage is and how it, you know, how a couple should function inside the marriage and what love is and all of those different things.
And again, for us, what we have discovered personally, and as we've worked with, you know, thousands of couples and teaching, is that when I go back to originally what God intended, I start from a different place. And so now I'm talking about those principles. I'm talking about those instructions. I'm talking about those guidelines that the Bible throughout starts to give direction about. And that becomes my starting point versus what society says. And again, that is from our perspective,
right,
from, you know,
that.
A spiritual perspective. Yeah,
no, I understand
yeah.
that. I just got to go to another break, Roosevelt, so I won't let you jump in at this point.
Okay.
I will highlight that the cut did point out that, you know, even within the Bible, though, the first, is, as it said, the first five books specifically highlights a lot of the allow polygamy, as if you will. So even from that perspective, and again, I don't disregard or disagree with your perspective that the Adam Eve story is told from a monogamous standpoint, but we do see in the first five books of the Bible, polygamy was kind of, in a sense, the lay of the land. In general, and I'm not saying that in itself makes it wrong, and I've done shows, polygamy is still marriage. So, so again, I'm not.
And I'd like to add a point when you come back, too.
All right, cool. Yeah, we'll let you do that coming back from break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not. TCHmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with TCHmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. TCHmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Hardly any of us are saying we need a man to make more than us, or we need a man to take care of us, or we need a man to pay our bills. No, really, truly, hand to God, we really just really would love to be partnered with someone who is similarly positioned.
Well, let me look.
But look at the lingo, the narrative, the verbiage, right? She's saying partner. Men don't want a partner. They want a wife, and it's a difference. There's a difference between a wife and a partner. You get a partner when you going into business together in corporate America, or you starting a company, or, you know, people have certain roles that they have to fill, and, you know, we look at you as an equal. We are not equal in any way, shape, or form, and that goes both ways, right? Women are not equal to men, and they get a lot more grace when it comes to certain things that's tailored for women, that's just natural within society, and vice versa. Men are not equal to women when it comes to certain other things, but, you know, there's always a yin and the yang, right? When we talking about not equal and making you feel safe, if somebody comes into that house, I'm pretty sure that all of that boss chick goes out the window because you're expecting a level of masculinity when it comes to provision and protection, right? And on the flip side, you know, we may give you precedence when it comes to nurturing or, you know, what happens as far as certain elements that happen inside of the household and things like that, right? But my point is that the very narrative that you're using to describe what a relationship is, in my opinion, is false. It's off.
But can I just interject one thing? Because this is going to be controversial, but this is, I think, important. So the problem with this is that, all right, so a 35-year-old single woman who's making $400,000 a year, right? And that they're looking for their equal counterpart. And that makes sense, right? But it's like the difficult part about that is that the equally yoked man who's 35 that's making $500,000, he's probably already in a relationship. He's probably married.
And being equally yoked is not always relative to finances. Being equally yoked is a biblical term. That is something that is handed down from God. And the description of what a wife is and how a husband is supposed to operate with a wife is all throughout the Bible. But we only want to make that, you know, relative to money. And that's the thing that people base most of the time, women mostly, base most of the time of whether or not they want to talk to a man is that they always say, I'm wondering if he's on my level. And they're referencing finances.
Welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Latrice Ross. This morning's discussion question, have we taken God out of marriage? Our special guests are Roosevelt and Renita Quick, as we hear a cut from Antoine Daniels' show, actually reacting to Earn Your Leisure and Ebony Williams, if you're familiar with those voices. Latrice, I know you had something you wanted to say real quick in reference to before the break, so go ahead, Queen.
Right, and actually that cut led into where I was going, that, you know, when you talk about Adam and Eve, Eve was a gift to Adam, meaning Adam owned Eve. And in the Bible, much of it, when it relates to marriage, men owned women. They were viewed as property. And so we can't ignore that as we talk about, is God still in marriage? Are we still considered property?
Matter of fact, let me share this as a thought, and I definitely want to hear Roosevelt and Renita's response to this. Sorry, 303, we are going to get to you. Just bear with us. I brought a few verses here that a couple of them I'm curious about, but this is just kind of the context of, I think, of what, along the lines of what you're talking about. So I'll just kind of introduce it here and get both of Roosevelt's response first, because I know Renita spoke before the break. So this is 1 Peter 3:1-5. Y'all can tell me what ESV stands for. I don't know what version of the Bible that is, if y'all want to clarify that for me. But it just says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. So I think those lines kind of speak to what Latrice is highlighting as a concern of hers. Roosevelt, in a sense, your thoughts. And again, this is not putting the church on to task, if you will. We're just dialoguing through all of this stuff. If you know. Go ahead, brother.
No, I love it. I love it. So first of all, ESV, just meaning English Standard Version, just one of the translations that the scripture, ESV, is
gotcha.
What that's
thank
meant
for.
For
that. Yeah, thank you for that.
But yeah, in terms of speaking to submission, you know, we talked about that earlier. I think there's important to remember that you can take one scripture, you can take it out of context, but you want to make sure that you apply context. Because when we talk about submission, we also have to balance that with what you just read about the importance of submitting to one another, take into consideration that the Apostle Paul also said, husbands, love your wives. It says, submit yourselves to one another. And the reason that I'm submitting myself is out of my reverence for God. I'm submitting myself to my wife. My wife, there's a mutual submission that we have for one another. And then also, just putting things in context, remember that what Christ told his disciples, he said, the greatest of you, he said, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And he said, the greatest among you will be a servant of all. So we look at Christ as Savior and Lord coming not to be served, but to give his life as a ransom and to serve humanity. He wanted to bring humanity back into relationship from that state of brokenness to bring them back together. And so that's how I would respond to that, is looking at the context as a whole, not just as it from a part.
Now, I like that. Let me get to this caller as well. Let me throw out this. One thing I have heard consistently, one of my friends, they are happily married and kind of follow biblical principles, if you will. And the thing that I do consistently hear, kind of similar to what you just spoke to, that there is an absolutely expectation of being submitted to one another. So quite often, at least the perspective I've got from my friends who are, in a sense, under those principles, they don't think of it as the in a sense, just one having to submit. It is a submission to one another, similar to what you said. So I'm just highlighting that I've consistently heard that amongst some of the happier couples that I know to, in a sense, follow Christian principles. I know happy couples that don't as well, but I'm just highlighting that is something that I've heard consistently amongst them. Area code 478, last 3303. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Peace and love, family. This is Sincere out of Atlanta. You know I had to call on this one.
I figured you'd be calling in, brother. What you got for us, King?
Hey, I always like to start with how we contextualize and conceptualize love and how we have to be careful with who we let define it, right? So most of us, we look at love from an emotional standpoint. The earliest iterations of love was tribalism, right? So even if we're talking poly relationships, that is a that can be considered a series of monogamous relationships based on the structure itself. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. if we're looking at love, the highest vibration, the only thing on record as being considered love is God. And we look at the first law of nature, which is self-preservation. That is love for self. And then we move on into tribalism or family. That is love, right? Whether we're looking at the term or not, don't let these movies, don't let these modern ideas wreck the original principles. If we do that, then we can't achieve a thing because we have a poor definition.
Now, I respect that. I always say that if you have the wrong assessment, how do you come up with the right solution? That's just a generalized thing that I think applies to what you just said. So thank you for those thoughts, Sincere. You know, you definitely can jump on in and out. Just come on and off the one if you want to get back in. Latrice, any response to anything you're hearing? I'll just kind of highlight that similar to what Roosevelt said, I do consistently hear people who speak like they're speaking, or even maybe even what Sincere is saying, that it's not always contextualized as a, if you will, a man over a woman. Any thoughts on that? But I definitely know that it is absolutely taken that way a lot of times and has been misused to lead to, as we highlighted in the promotion, even women in a sense staying in abusive marriages, and even the society and the culture sometimes even encouraging it because marriage is a covenant of God and you must stay. And it was being contextualized as a man over a woman. So I definitely understand it and do not want to deny that unfortunate reality has been part of our culture as well. But again, what are your thoughts to, again, Roosevelt saying, hey, the submission is to both. And again, I do hear that a lot today. Your thoughts, Queen. Oh, I'm sorry. I muted you by accident. All right, you're live again. Go ahead, Queen.
One of the things that you stated was happily married. And typically those who are happily married can see those things, can see that context there. They don't take bits and pieces and use it out of context, because that using that submission scripture is definitely being done out of context. Because when my ex-husband tried it, I actually followed through with the rest of that scripture, and he walked away because he had no response. So part of it is that we listen to people, we hear it, and we take those nuggets and we run with it without understanding the full context. And I agree with what Sincere said, particularly how he defined polygamous relationships as a series of monogamous relationships, because typically while you maybe have multiple partners, you are in relationship with those multiple partners. But my perspective was coming from the misuse of those scriptures, as you indicated, happens frequently.
No, it makes sense, because I could say, again, as someone who no longer attends, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a believer, but I also have witnessed within my own family, my aunt live out those scriptures and it go the other way. Whereas you said it did not work for you, I also can be honest that they're in an amazing marriage, and it took her kind of holding to the verse that I just read to kind of bring things back in order, just based on, in a sense, where her husband was at the time. You would never know it over the last
15, 20 years because they speak to these principles and how successful, again, they've helped them been. I've seen people be successful speaking to these principles, you know, at least from my viewpoint of outside looking in and seemingly be successful, whether they're, in a sense, relying on these principles. So I've seen it both ways. I will always admit it to how I've seen it. We are at the top of the hour, so let's go to another break. For anybody out there listening, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. But all I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Right, and to be honest with you, that's why I'm in the relationship space. Because for me personally, I don't respect a man until he's married. Like, a man does not earn my respect until he's married and faithful.
Damn.
Like, he could bench press 500. He can make $1 million a week. He can have a jet. He can have houses around the world. A man does not have my respect. He will have my kindness. He will have, you know, my love as a brother, as a man, but he won't have my respect and admiration until he can be married and faithful.
So is that the highest level of a man?
It's the highest level of a
man. And faithful in particular.
Faithful. Because anybody could be married. That's a piece of paper. Yeah. See, real marriage is a covenant. Because when we had marriage with God, we didn't have a courthouse. We didn't have a piece of paper. We have a covenant. So the piece of paper does not mean anything. And I remember my dad telling me that. He was like, listen, if you think that piece of paper going to change something, it's not. And we have to have a covenant. And this is what you'll notice when you look around. And this is why I was telling y'all, with a lot of podcasts that won't bring me on, they won't bring me on because they know from my message what I stand on. And they don't want their wives or their girlfriends to see that this is a level of living that's capable, and I'm settling. When Cherie Gaskins has this mindset and you around here talking to me like crap, and you around here talking about I got to give you a hall pass and every man cheats and all of this. So they don't want to expose their woman who's in the darkness to men who speak in the light, who's showing the light. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, you'll notice most black men and men in general choose business and motivation over relationships because it's easier to talk about making money than it is to talk about being faithful to one woman and loving one woman purely. Because what I have come to realize, the hardest thing for a man to do, and guys always capping in the comments when I say this, but they're not really living it because I'm living it. The hardest thing for a man to do is be faithful to one woman. And what I mean by being faithful is not just about not having sex, but I also mean by cultivating her heart and mind, by speaking life into her, by understanding that his greatest strength is his gentleness, by not talking down to her, by not dictating and controlling and trying to silence her and make her what men are looking for today are robots. They want...
Welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Special guest co-host Latrice Ross has one discussion question. Have we taken God out of marriage? Our special guests are Enduring Love Ministries, Roosevelt and Renita Quick, as we hear a cut. Tony Gaskin on the Hardly Initiated podcast, one of my favorite podcasts. Roosevelt, I think I'm going to let you jump on what you just heard, Tony Gaskin, about. I think it also highlights what Latrice was saying going into the break, that people mistake or misuse and take things out of context, in a sense, for their own doing, if you will. But in full context, it sounds maybe a little bit like what Tony Gaskin's talking about. And I don't know how many men really want to live up to that. And that's, you know, just keeping it in the book. Your thoughts, King?
Yeah. So I like what Tony had to say from the standpoint of he's talking about real masculinity. And I think masculinity, not just masculinity, but manhood in terms of being one who takes care of responsibilities. And part of my role as a husband, my role as a happily married husband, is that I am taking care of and watching out for all aspects of family life, but I also recognize that we're doing it together as partners, as we are covenant partners. And he brought that definition of covenant in, and that is so important, that covenant is an agreement between two people. And when we have a godly covenant, we are living not by just our principles that we agree by, meaning Renita and I, but we are agreeing with God's principles. And when we do that, I think we become stronger when we live according to those principles.
Well, Renita, your thoughts on any of that?
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, with Tony's comments, it is the principles that get us to the expected end that we're looking for as a married couple. We want to be happy. We want, there's goals that we have that we're aspiring for together. And so what are the guidelines that we're following that are part of this covenant relationship that help us to get there? I really do appreciate what Latrice said before the break, because again, it is misusing the scripture or misusing the teaching, which takes us full circle to the first clip that you played by Omar Johnson, of what is being taught. How are men and women being taught on how to live in covenant? Are they being taught to live in covenant? Or is it about, you know, the societal expectations and so on and so forth? So again, what Tony said and what Latrice was alluding to, I believe, is what has not been taught correctly, what has not, men and women have not been held accountable to, which are those principles and those guidelines of covenant marriage that God outlined in the manual, in the Bible.
Here's what pops in my mind when we're talking about this and just kind of walking through this thing. And today's question is, have we taken God out of marriage? And so we were highlighting a few minutes ago, and y'all play a role in, like you said, mentoring young people and mentoring other couples that have been doing it for over 20-something years, and just highlighting, in a sense, the need to have coaching in this space of being in relation, right? We're not seeing it naturally, so we're having to have coaching and things of that nature. I would just, what came to my mind is a lot of the femininity coaching that's out here, you know, by the coaches. Again, I'm not denouncing any of it, because I have some that I brought on the show that I absolutely admire. Matter of fact, Brother Vaughn, as he mentioned, he's a relationship coach that I highly respect, and I bring him on the show. So in a sense, a lot of those teachings, I would just like to highlight in context of today's show, a lot of the things that are being taught, in my opinion, are not necessarily put in the context of the Bible or God, but those principles seemingly are, in a sense, from the same space of respecting the man and the husband, and what, you know, what kind of speaks to us as men and that type of thing. And then how general, like Tony Gaskin is saying, how general we should be in being able to cultivate not only you know, her mind and make it pouring life in her. Those principles, whether you use the term God or not, I think those values are out here in a lot of the teachings, whether the people use God or not. I just wanted to throw that out and hear your thoughts on that as well. Go ahead, Benita.
I 100% agree with that. You know, we said in our introduction that we started in this whole space, this coaching space, as teachers and facilitators, and we did that for 9 years, and we did it under a federal grant where you could not use, you know, God and scripture and any kind of reference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And so we did that for 9 years when we were in Ohio, and we taught and facilitated thousands of couples. Here was the difference that we found, Montoya, is that and we had couples that took the class, and most of the classes were 12 weeks, and we were facilitating couples. There were other facilitating couples. We had couples that would take our class, and they would take somebody else's class, and they would come back and take our class and, you know, repeaters. Because, yes, they were learning the principles, yes, they were learning the skills, and they were acquiring the tools, but the application, it's almost like it would not stick because of the condition of their heart, if you will. And okay. So it's like the person that plants. If I put seed in bad ground that has not been cultivated, then the chance of me having a good crop is diminished. And that's what happened a lot of times. And, you know, once you've been coaching people, you know, 2-3 rounds, you start to get to the real heart of where they are and what the issues are and, you know, trauma from the past and so on and so forth. So you start to get to what the real root that needs to be dealt with in order for those tools and those principles and skills to land. And that's what made us really transition into that biblical base of teaching. Because we were finding that with these couples, without that reason, without, you know, that solid foundation, they would just revert back to some of the things that they were doing prior to learning the skills. And that hugely made a difference. You know, it was our experience and our life with the things we dealt with. And then as we start coaching couples from those principles, we start seeing a major difference in those, in their lives. Yeah.
Okay. Latrice, any questions, any thoughts, or anything, please?
Of course I have thoughts. So I wanted to actually say that for many Black people, we don't grow up with the privilege of seeing healthy relationships. We don't see loving relationships, and many times we don't even see marriages. And so once I was divorced and I started, and after I completed therapy, and I started dating again, one of the primary questions that I was asked is, who taught you how to love? And more often than not, they would say that they never had anyone teach them, or I taught myself. And some who were more self-aware said, I don't know, because all I've seen is dysfunction. And so while, you know, we can talk about bringing God into a relationship, but I don't think we can have this discussion without talking about bringing therapy into relationships, particularly as they relate to the Black community, because we live in a society, regardless of what the mainstream demographic has to say, we live in a society where Black and brown people are oppressed, and that hurts us. Not seeing healthy relationships, we don't know how to communicate with each other. That was a huge factor in my divorce, not knowing how to communicate, not knowing how to disagree agreeably. We don't understand emotional intelligence and understand our emotions and how they impact our relationship with other people. And so we cannot have this discussion without talking about the importance of therapy. And coaching is great if you're trained. The only reason that I say I don't include coaching is because there are no standards in coaching in a lot of areas. I've had a person tell me he was a relationship coach, and when I asked what qualified him, it was because he had 4.5 children with 4 different women. That's what he used to tell me qualified him as a relationship. He's not been married to any of them. And so when we have these discussions, and it's not either or.
Now, he had
you
a
can
lot
have
of
God
experience,
in your life,
though.
And you can
he
have therapy.
He had a lot of experience, though.
Right. But not in healthy relationships, clearly.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. Not in healthy relationships.
All right, don't be knocking that man's experience.
Oh, trust me, he got knocked.
Trust me. And then let me tell you what he did. He said, you know what? You're smart. I'm attracted to you. I'm getting turned on. Boy, if you don't get out of my inbox.
Right, we got about 30 seconds before break, so let me go ahead and get into this next break, and we'll keep this conversation going. If you're out there listening, the number is 646-787-1691. Absolutely agree with you, Latrice, on the concept of therapy. And we need to highlight that sometimes, not necessarily in this conversation, but sometimes people forego the therapy in a sense and rely in God in a way in which they still need therapy, and that reliance can negate them sometimes getting both or still needing the therapy that they need to get. And we talked about that on the show as well. So very, very fair point by you. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Psychologist Dr. Gerald Hassel and Omar Buckner, founders of Self Mastery Retreats International, is proud to present a transformative experience specifically designed by black men for black men. This immersive retreat offers a unique opportunity for black men to forge deep bonds, enhance their personal growth, and empower themselves to create positive change in their lives, families, and communities. For 5 days in the sacred surroundings of Puerto Morales, Mexico, a select group of powerful black men will embark on a journey of self-discovery, creating a safe and supportive space to share their experience and build a strong sense of community. This trip will truly transform your life and takes place February the 15th through 19th, 2024. If interested, text SELFMASTERY to 678-548-2456. Again, that is SELFMASTERY to 678-458-2456 to receive a direct link for the retreat.
This one time, my husband was coming home for dinner. Dinner time is very important to us. One particular day, my husband was late, and I could feel myself getting a little bit like delayed. And Holy Spirit said, when he comes in this house, you make a choice of how you're going to greet this man. Holy Spirit says, because you have no idea the things he's had to fight today. So even though you don't know why he's late, when he walks in this house, you greet him like the king he is. Then I hear the door turn, the key coming, and Holy Spirit said, it's almost time. When he comes in this house, you decide if you are going to be the type of woman who brings life or you bring a knife. So he walked in, and I greeted him, I hugged him, I let him know I was so happy to see him. And he just melted in my arms. He said, let me tell you what happened today, what I've had to deal with. And it broke me down because there's a scripture, Proverbs 31 and 11. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. When you endeavor to be a woman who follows the Holy Spirit will teach you how to love, how to be safe, how to be nurturing, and how to be the type of woman where a man comes home and he knows, I fought out there, but I never have to fight in here. I'm home.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, have we taken God out of marriage? Special guest co-host Latrice Ross, special guest Roosevelt and Renita Quick. Any response for anyone to that cut? Any of y'all can jump in on that cut. I thought it was just a nice cut that gives a perspective of someone who's living out those principles and how it helped her avoid, if you will, a potential fight, you know, out of her natural worry that something's wrong or whatever, but she had to decide, how am I going to speak to my husband when he comes through the door, even though I've been worried? She chose to, as she said, listen to Holy Spirit. So I thought it was just a cool cut for this morning's discussion. So anybody can jump on that one. I think I may have heard Latrice jump in first. I'm going to let her jump in there real quick. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, I actually watched that video even before you reached out to me about this show. And you know, it's absolutely correct. And I think for me, a lot of these pieces coming from the scriptural or the godly perspective only tell half the story. And you know that you've commented on some of my posts that I've had about John Gray and about how women are supposed to be these patient beings while men grow up until they get be there for them as a safe place until they get done dilly-dallying around with other women or men or whomever it is that they're doing their things with. But the home should be a safe space for both parties. It's not just the woman's responsibility to make a peaceful existence for her husband. She absolutely should. But that husband, and you know, there's this little cliche, this meme that goes around, if you want a woman to create heaven at home for you, then don't be a devil. And I believe that's absolutely true. We should definitely, you know, ensure that both men and women understand how to make the home the sanctuary where they both feel that it's a place of peace and where they can come for relaxation, kindness, understanding, love, and escape the issues that we all face outside in the world.
I think, Renita, I think I heard you trying to jump in as well. Go ahead, Queen.
Yeah, I think Latrice, the way she said it, just wonderful, and that's exactly what I was going to say as well, is that it becomes in this covenant relationship, in that mutual submission, it becomes not just her responsibility, but his responsibility, which now makes it our responsibility, and so that's how oneness is created, because both of us are committed to what we know the word is instructing us to do, and there's a role for each one of us to play. I also wanted to respond to something really powerful that Latrice said before the break, and that just, you know, again, really relating to the whole coaching aspect and counseling aspect, and again, it goes back to, you know, some of the things that we do in the church sometimes. You know, a good coach has been trained, just like she said. And one of the things about, you know, with Roosevelt and I is we know where the line is. And mm-hmm. So there's a lot of assessments right. that we're doing up front. And we know, we don't just suggest that you go to counseling. We connect you to counseling. We refer you and connect you because we have a community of people that when we get to that line where there's domestic abuse, where there's, you know, addictions and then there are people who have been trained to yes. help you through that. And so we, you know, we're not going to try to, you know, pray you through something that you need counseling for. We're going to make that connection and recognize when that is necessary. And that's what people need to be looking for, not just the person who says the nice words and the riddles and it all sounds great. Mm-hmm. You need mm-hmm. to be working with someone who is helping you to move forward. And many times you need to go backwards to deal with trauma in order to go forward. That's what the coach does. We take you when you have goals and places that you want to go but just don't know how to get there. We're coaching you through that. But when you've got trauma to deal with and baggage to unpack and things that have to be dealt with delicately, I am going to refer you and put your hand in the hand of a trained counselor who can take you through that. And I think, again, sometimes the church has not done that as well.
No, I love that. I love that. I just want to highlight this, and Roosevelt, you can jump in as well. Just even me being in this space of doing mental dialogue, conceptually, mental dialogue, the concept is if we can help improve the conversation inside your own head, you will be better, therefore the community is better. And so by having built this community, we have a lot of mental health professionals inside the community, and I'm a psychology enthusiast, if you will, and so sometimes people are kind of often referred to me or come to me to talk to them through situations, and like to your point, I'm always dropping them off at the point of, okay, this is beyond my ability to help you because I don't have tools. The professionals have tools. Mm-hmm. I can listen very well, yeah. But let me drop you off. Even though you think I have great advice, I am not about to give you the advice on your particular situation when I'm not a professional. So I just wanted to highlight to your point how that's necessary. And even for listeners, if you are in a sense, sometimes even when you're the sounding board to your friends and family, sometimes you could be doing more harm versus walking them to therapy, and sometimes you have to go together. That's a whole nother subject, but I just definitely wanted to highlight mm-hmm. the importance of that in the context of this conversation. Roosevelt, we've got a mm-hmm. quick thought on that. I want to bring a verse that's always been curious to me out of the Bible just to throw it out there and see what you guys think. But if you want to give a thought on that as well, I'll let you.
Yeah, I like what Renita said. I like what Latrice said.
But referring back to one of the things that just the mutual, when I talk about the mutual relationship, the mutual respect, I thought about going back to 1 Peter. It says, in the same way, husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wives with understanding as you live together. And that is that part of, that's how you develop that mutual respect in your relationship. That's what builds one another up. That's what gives a confidence so that you can let your guard down with one another, that you can be transparent with one another, that you can open up to one another. Early last year, I was going through a deep, dark time, and rather than play into the society's role of that men have to be hard, men can't show emotion, I had to tell Rita, look, I'm going through something right now that I don't feel healthy. My mind is racing. There was a lot of things I was going through. And so I had to be able to know that my wife was a safe place person to open up. And through our history together, she's demonstrated that. So we created that type of environment amongst ourselves where we felt safe to open up to one another. I felt safe to be able to refer her to. And one of the things that she referred and suggested is, honey, why don't you find somebody that you can talk to? And that's one of the things I was doing, is looking for a counselor that I could talk to.
Now, I love that. Let me highlight this real quick before I share this verse. Again, and it's just for anybody out there that's listening live now, and two-thirds of people listen on their own time on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so a lot of people will hear this later. But just speaking to the point that you just spoke to, with a lot of the traumas that are out there, and again, just trying to understand this thing called relationship, and we love having these dialogues about this particular subject again, because I think this adds to strengthening families. Here's a reality that to your point, Roosevelt, being raised in a society where men, in a sense, are told not to be vulnerable in that sense. There's also a lot of men who have the context of that they've had experiences within their relationships, or sometimes even in their marriage, where the woman, in a sense, didn't make them feel okay with being vulnerable. In a sense, it got used against them. And what happens is that can happen just within a quote-unquote boyfriend relationship, boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, if you will. And the reality is that happening once or twice will harden men to the extent of thinking, I can never trust the woman that way. And so a lot of men will carry that unfairly, even if they have, in a sense, the right woman who would not burn them, because they've been burned one or twice. We're not too good at opening up emotionally if we've been burned in that way. So beautiful that, in a sense, you and Renita have that situation. But the unfortunate reality for a lot, and this goes both ways, not just men, I think women are, in a sense, more willing to take risk, in a sense, when it comes to love, in ways that a lot of men will, you know, be in relation, but they won't necessarily become vulnerable if they've been burned once or twice. So definitely beautiful to hear y'all say that. I wanted to highlight this one verse, is maybe in a sense it's probably going to be out of context anytime that you share a verse, but just I think it's just worthy of talking about. And this goes back to where Latrice was saying, hey, people use these verses in a way to where it doesn't seem fair, or like you said, men own their women. So there's these verses from Deuteronomy 22:28-29 ESV again. This verse right here has always been curious to me, from someone who asks a lot of questions and I don't always understand it. But it says, if a man meets a virgin who is not betrothed and seizes her and lies with her, and they are found, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the young woman 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has violated her. He may not divorce her all his days. So I can see how people easily, and again, this is me not understanding this verse, can easily take these verses and see it as some type of ownership. Because when I read that verse, those two verses in themselves, it seems like the ownership that Latrice was referring to earlier in the show. So, Roosevelt, I'm going to put it right back at you. Help me understand the context of these two verses, because this looks very much like ownership in my opinion.
Absolutely. A good question. And the one thing I will point to is that this is a part of what we call Old Testament law. There were a lot of things that were put in place. This was after what we call the fall of man, there were consequences for rebellion, for disobedience, if you will, to God's original purpose. God's original purpose was for man and woman to live together in paradise for a lifetime. That was the original purpose. But because of disobedience, laws were put in place to, quote unquote, give guidelines to govern relationships. And so this is part of that Old Testament law. And honestly, unfortunately, after the fall of man, after that disobedience, then these strict laws started to be put in place. And this is one of the consequences of disobedience. Now, after
let me do this real quick. I'm sorry, dude. I got a couple of breaks. I got a couple of breaks. Yeah. I need to go to. So sorry about cutting you off. But I think what I'm hearing, I want to understand this. What I think you're hearing is it's almost laid out to say, look, here's the risk of you even doing this. So it's not even so much, if I'm hearing you right, it's not even so much that here's what you must do if this happens. It's almost saying, hey, here's a huge consequence. So are you sure you want to make the mistake of doing this knowing that this consequence is here? Is that a fair way for me as a layman seeing this, quote-unquote, law being handed out is almost like an over-consequence to keep you from doing it, right or wrong? Is that how I should understand it versus just believing this is what God wanted to happen? Is that a fair way, just hearing you very briefly?
That's a very apt way to put it. I couldn't say it better.
Let me jump to this break. Sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to wrap it up and get to the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not. TCHmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today.
Give us three quick points, and absolutely, I know we got to run. Keela, number one, understand this about men. I don't care what any man ever tells you. The longer you make us wait for the cookie, the more we will value you after we get it. Do you understand me? Time does matter. With that being said, I want you to understand this. With that being said, if a man respects women, it doesn't matter how soon y'all did it. And if a man does not respect women, it don't matter how long you made him wait. Make sure you know how he feels about women, and there's no better way to find that out than to ask him how he feels about his mother. And the last point, Queen, don't make the mistake of so many sisters who look for men who they have something in common with, right? We both psychologists. We both watch the reality show. We both like to read. We both like the beach. Uh-uh. That's superficial. You should be looking for whether or not y'all share the same values. He like to spend money. You like to save money. You want to have a lot of children. He don't want none. You believe in a relationship with God. He don't believe in God. You believe in saving for retirement. He wants to live for today. Study a man's values and make sure you can live with what he believes in. And the last thing, I know I said three, but I'm going to give you this. You can never change a person. When you meet that man, Queen, ask yourself this and be honest with yourself. Can I live with him as he is if he never changed for the rest of my life? Never get married because you think it's going to make the problems go away. Marriage will only highlight and intensify the problems that are already there.
That's a bar. That's a bar.
Welcome back.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes, you can get an amen on that.
Wow. Hey, Latrice,
I don't think you ever thought you would agree with Omar on anything, did you?
Absolutely not.
I threw you a monkey wrench on that one.
You did, but a clock is right twice. A broken clock is right twice.
So anyway, I wanted to bring that into context because when we asked the question, have we taken God out of marriage? If you've been tuned in or just now tuning in, this morning's discussion question, have we taken God out of marriage? But I just wanted to highlight that that's Dr. Umar owner, Harley initiated again, just to highlight that podcast. But just in him giving that sound advice, in a sense, it's great advice. It's not in the context of God. If you will, at least from the way that he said it, but he highlighted the reality of if two people have that difference of one believing in God versus one not and that type of thing and what factors it could play. But in speaking to the waiting game, here's something that I feel like I figured out in my early 20s. I'm 50 now or whatever. And so while I, in a sense, moved away from my early church teachings, if you will, here's something that I felt like I always understood in reference to the, if you will, the waiting of moving into a sexual relationship. Because, again, I do think it is some, I was still stand by, I think it's somewhat unrealistic for the quote-unquote church, if you will, you know, speaking of it in a collective way, to expect adults that are waiting to 27, 28 and older to get married to, in a sense, stay virgins, if you will. I'm not saying the church does that. I'm just highlighting that in context of reality is not really doable, if you will. But in the waiting game, the thing that I feel like I understood, again, moving even as a young man moving away from the church, I realized, hey, so four ways to know someone, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, and physically. And I realized that the physical situation, to come somewhat to Dr. Umar's point, was the one that could cloud the other three very easily if entered into the physical too soon. And so because I came to understand that from a psychological standpoint, again, love being just a lover of psychology, I'm not a psychology major or anything like that, but I've always loved the field.
Are you still there?
I think he may have left. I mean, he may have gotten kicked off the internet, but kind of the direction that he was going, I too am a student of psychology. I actually have a master's in industrial and organizational psychology and contemplating a PhD. Not certain about that, but I honestly think that relationships, having courses in like how to communicate and things of that nature would be beneficial as a precursor to marriage. One of the things that I learned, I do, diversity work. One of the things that I've learned in one of my classes is the amygdala hijack, where when you are confronted with an emotional situation, the chemical secretions go to the primitive part of our brains first, our fight or flight instinct. And that's why oftentimes when we get into situations where we are disagreeing as partners, as husbands and wives, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, they turn into these really horrible arguments because where we are very emotional because we're coming from that primitive part of our brain, fight or flight. And so we say things that we may not mean. It takes 22 minutes for the chemical secretions to get to our modern brain. And that's where logic kicks in. And so one of the things that I was working with a group of folks and I told them, you know, when you feel those emotions rising up, take your 22 minutes, step outside, cool off, and come back and have a conversation when cooler heads prevail. And it's just things like that could help relationships last longer because you're learning, okay, this is a part, I'm learning this from a physiological perspective, but this can help my relationship. And I actually shared that in a corporate training, and a few months later, a guy came back and told me that he told his wife about it, and they had employed that in their relationship, and they argued a lot less than they did prior to learning that. So there's a lot that studying our body, studying our brain can help us as it relates to relationships.
You know, Latrice, that's the thing that Roosevelt and I enjoy so much about the opportunity to teach, to facilitate, to mentor, to coach, and especially in our community, because we realize, you know, when we look at the divorce rates and whatnot among African Americans, it's the highest in the United States. And so when we have the opportunity to educate and to mentor, it makes a huge difference for us, because it is the things, and the scripture says this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And you just gave an example of very simply understanding how your physical body, your hormones and all of those different things are working that you're not even aware of in most cases, how it's naturally working, and it has that effect on how you're communicating and how you're resolving the conflict. I think, you know, we teach high school students about healthy relationships, and we teach a whole concept about bonding, and we teach about the hormones that are released during different aspects of bonding, when you're holding hands, when you're touching the person's face, when you're touching above the waist, on top of clothes, under clothes, so on and so forth, and what is happening naturally in your body, which is why you now want to have sex, because that's the way God designed your body to respond. And it's amazing because you're looking like, I never knew that. I never understood that. And now all of a sudden there's a understanding of what's happening. So it's not, you know, I grew up in the church where it's like, don't get pregnant. And it's like, okay, but tell me how to not get in the back seat first, because, you know, naturally I'm wanting to go there. Once I begin to understand that and teach that such that you're aware of what's happening in your body naturally, that makes a whole difference in how you're progressing through this whole dating aspect of what my boundaries are, what I do, what I don't do, when I do it, who I do it with, because I understand how this is operating. Even, you know, it, where before I didn't have that knowledge. So you're absolutely right in that.
And one of the things that I've also learned.
Real quick.
Okay, go ahead. I was just going to say that one, you know, you talked about the chemical secretion. Oxytocin is one of those things. And when you engage in sex, it causes you as a woman to want that more. And so you're more likely to overlook those red flags that they're throwing on the play. And as Dr. Umar was saying, you know, talking about things you can't change, once you do engage in sex, that oxytocin starts coursing through your body. You want to feel it some more, so you're going to keep doing it. And I'm going to overlook these red flags that he's throwing all over the field.
It is called the bonding hormone.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, you can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, just checking. No, I love the conversation, and I love the conversation because relating it to this conversation, I was just highlighting that learning and understanding psychology, I started to see that while the Bible is not speaking to the psychology, laying out, in a sense, saving physical to latter, because it doesn't cloud, I realized it doesn't cloud you. So I remember saying, even as I was personally moving away from the church as a young man, I realized there's value in this teaching, because now I see how it relates to all the things y'all just talked about. So it's kind of like it covered, in a sense, those principles covered, even when we, in a sense, didn't understand it. But like you said, Renita, to your point, if, in a sense, if it's just being taught, don't do this, that's the first thing that you want to do as a teenager, what he told you not to do. So there is, it has to be taught in a way that makes sense. And so, yeah, I don't think a church can't just be saying, wait till you're 35 to have sex. It can't be that. But at the same time, there is value in those principles, and I'm even willing to say that, even from my, if you will, secular perspective. Roosevelt, any thoughts on everything you've been hearing? Again, I just wanted to highlight that connection seemed to fit even in current times. As well, but go ahead, King.
Well, I can tell you this, and again, I'm just taking this from my personal experience. Is I was one of those persons that wanted to save sex to marriage, and that's because I had a high view of the value of sex and who I wanted to share that with. Now, I can tell you I was ostracized. I was made fun of. You have no idea what it was like to be in the barbershop. And
yeah,
somebody
I have no
asked
idea,
me.
Sir. You're right. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was on
so,
the
so it was amazing how it was I was made fun of, you know, he's a virgin, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. But I remember coming back after I got married. I was 22 years old when we got married. I remember coming back the week after my honeymoon, and my barber pulled me aside. He says, I know those guys are making fun of you, but he said, you know what, I gotta tell you, man, a lot of these people respect you for your stance and for what you were able to do. And again, it's because I had a high value for saving myself for my wife. And I wanted to, in the process, I wanted to be real with honoring God. I'm honoring God with this. He gave me my sexuality. And so I wanted to share that with my wife. And that was my personal testimony. It was something I had a high value of, and I wanted to honor God and show him how much I love him. By saving it as he had instructed.
And you know, the interesting thing about that for us.
Let me do this quick. I'm sorry. We're going to go to our last break, and then we're going to get into the retreat that you guys are offering for the Valentine's weekend. So let's do that right now. This will be our last break, and we'll close it out. So thank you. But that's amazing, Brother Roosevelt. Definitely respect that. You know, again, I have respect for that as well. We'll be right back listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Calling all married couples. Have you planned your Valentine's Day weekend getaway? If not, we recommend you reignite your passion in your marriage at the Oneness Experience Weekend, February the 16th through 18th, 2024. Brought to you by Enduring Love Ministries, hosts Roosevelt and Renita Quick, authors of The Power of Agreement and 30 Years of Marriage Experience, ask couples to reconnect, rekindle, and recommit to their marriages. Are you yearning for a deeper, more purposeful connection in your marriage? If so, the Oneness Experience is for you and your spouse. Taking place in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, experience an anointed weekend with plenty of couples activities, marriage enrichment sessions, such as the strength of seduction, and ample quality time together. Again, the Oneness Experience Weekend takes place February the 16th through 18th. For registration details, please visit Enduring Love Ministries International at elmintl.org. Again, that is elmintl.org. Tickets are going fast.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Our special guests, Roosevelt and Renita Quick, are sponsoring today's show, and wanted to highlight the Oneness weekend getaway. So if y'all will speak to that. Again, I've loved y'all giving us your background, y'all's perspective, and y'all's opinion on this morning's discussion question. But we want to highlight the opportunity for others to learn from you and take part in this amazing retreat. So if y'all will speak to it, let people know what they can expect and how they can, in a sense, stay in contact with you. This is definitely take advantage of the retreat, but, you know, even how to stay in contact with you in the event. Mm-hmm. They just want to get some coaching from you or something. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Let me just add one quick thing. As Roosevelt told his story about being a virgin when we got married, guess what? I wasn't. And so I was kind of a wild child in college where we met. And so I had to learn, although I grew up in the church and was taught those principles, I really had to learn and understand what oneness was, which is what our weekend is about, and what it really truly meant to be a covenant wife. And I learned a lot of that before we got married.
so that we could enter into a covenant that will be long-lasting. But we're excited about the Oneness Experience Weekend, which is February 16th through the 18th. It's 4 weeks from now, and it will be in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. And what we are endeavoring to do is create an experience for couples where they can get refreshed, where they can reconnect, where they can recommit, and really get teaching, worship time, alone time, where they can reconnect and become and go to a deeper level of that oneness. We're partnering with several other organizations. We have a massage therapist that's going to be there doing private couple massages. We have the Strength of Seduction that's going to be there teaching. They're the premier company that has created exercise programs for couples, and they specifically cater to our community, to the African-American community. And so they have videos that are out there, and they're going to be there teaching on that weekend. And we're just going to be teaching couples about how to develop that level of oneness according, as of course, to those biblical principles. It's beautiful in North Carolina. The weekend has been specifically designed as just a private kind of retreat time, and so we're looking forward to that. You can register for that at www.elmintl.org. We do even have scholarships available because there are people out there that want to provide assistance for those who need that in order to have that kind of a weekend. So we're excited about it.
One of the things I'm really excited about particularly is that we're looking to speak to all aspects of marriage. We're looking at the emotional, we're looking at the spiritual, we're looking at the physical. We will have breakout sessions for men and women where we have we'll have panel discussions where we can talk about men issues, women issues, and then we'll have times when we're coming together. We're also going to have some date night events. So all of that's going to be packed into that weekend. For the registration, all of the costs are covered in terms of your lodging, your meals, everything is covered for that one registration price. Yep.
And for coaching, you can go to our website. Our website is www.enduringloveministries.com. We even have a free copy, a free chapter of our book, The Power of Agreement, and that you can get in
Biblical Principles for Maximizing Marital Fulfillment.
So you can get a free chapter of that and just delve into that book. The book also has a companion journal that goes with it, and that's designed for couples to work together to pondering questions and exercises. We're all about couples learning how to communicate and having the space to open up and share with each other. So again, you can go to www.enduringloveministries.com. And then you can also follow us on Facebook, and we're at Enduring Love Ministries on Facebook. So that's how you can get in contact with us.
I love it. And just highlight, if you're in the Atlanta area, we just announced this at the live experience. Brother Sincere called in. He's with the Arts and Culture Show, and I have the Mental Dialogue Community Club. We're actually connecting to do a true love experience on February the 14th. So if you're in Atlanta, you can hang out with us on the 14th and then shoot to the Oneness Experience that weekend up in Blue Ridge. So highly recommend that people do that. We got a few minutes before we close the show. I see another caller out there. So you've been hanging on for a while. If you want to get in, you do have to press 1. We might sneak you in here before we close out the show. But I actually just thought one of my own to share actually cut from our show at the beginning of the year. I had Brother Ed Hopkins, attorney Edward Hopkins on, and we were one of our top shows last year is What is True Love? And so that's something that we'll be dialoguing about on our Valentine's Day experience. So it'll be a good experience, if you will. But we were basically doing responses to our best cuts called Best of, Did You Hear the Best of Mental Dialogue 2023? And this is his response in reference to one of our top shows is What is True Love? And I thought it was just so appropriate for this show. So I'm going to play it, if y'all will. We'll just bat through these few minutes, and we'll just get one quick closing thought from the three of you, and we'll close out this show. But definitely hope the listeners out there take advantage. You will hear the commercial over the next few weeks, but hopefully y'all can take advantage of the one this weekend. But let y'all hear this brother doting on his wife, and I just thought it was so appropriate for this morning's discussion.
It could never be more timely than it is right now. to talk about love. It's always timely to talk about love. I think love in all of its manifestations, the love that men and women and women and women, men and men, depending upon what your dispositions and tastes are, the ones that we have, the love that we have with one another, that's our raison d'etre. That's the reason why we are here. And what I can't stop thinking about when I listen to that clip is how my wife and I, we constantly talk about our love affair. We've been married longer than a quarter century. And when we think about what our love looks like on a day-to-day basis, we know that it's not what Hollywood depicts, and it's not what you're going to see on TV, but it's the type of love that you can build a nation on. And when we have these kind of conversations in our house about love and how important it is to model it, how important it is to discuss it, to value it, to place nothing above it, we oftentimes we wonder whether we talk about it enough in the media, particularly in the black media. I've been trying to encourage my wife for a long time to consider doing a podcast of her own. I think she's getting close to maybe doing it. Nice. And the reason why is not because she wants to be famous. My wife doesn't really care much for fame. But she watches the news, reads the newspapers, and has philosophical conversations with me, like the ones, you know, we have, like we had when we were in school.
Absolutely.
And we have these kind of conversations, and we ask ourselves, what should we be doing to help our brothers and sisters out there who might not have grown up in homes where they saw a decades-long love affair between two black folks? And we have that. And ours is working. It's worked for a quarter of a century. I still love my wife more than anything in the world. She's the reason why I get up. And when I think of her, I think of a blessing. I tell people with a straight face more often than you might imagine, brother, that she's my proof that God exists, because I can't imagine being blessed with something like her unless something else loved me dearly, because she has made my life worth living, and she makes it so easy in our house to love her. And that kind of love affair is the kind of love affair that I hope all of us get to experience, because I do believe that's the purpose of a human existence. But black love in particular is imperiled, I think. And I think we need to have conversations about it so we all can figure out how we're going to get ourselves some of it and as much of it as we can.
Brother Roosevelt, your thought, he highlighted, you mentioned it earlier, the idea of what we hear and see in the black media. We want to be a space here, a mental dialogue, where we are not just talking the typical stuff. I thought it was amazing to hear that brother highlight that for him, his wife alone let him know that there is a God. And again, just having to respect his position, I just thought it was a beautiful thing. And I know the brother personally, so I know he meant that, if you will. So when we have a conversation of, have we taken God out of marriage? Maybe we have. Maybe the church is culpable for certain things in general, if you will. But at the end of the day, I think we've highlighted a lot of those principles can and should apply regardless of how you you view God, if you will. But I just thought it was a beautiful thing, and I just wanted to share it as a part of this show. So if you will, just a quick thought on that. We got a couple of minutes before we go. A quick thought from yourself as well as your wife, and we'll close the show. But thank both of you for an amazing show today.
Absolutely. I think that was a beautiful clip. I had heard that before, and I could not agree more. I love my wife now more than ever, and our delight, our goal, it is an honor to use what God has blessed us with to help to provide an example, to help inspire others that we are able to serve. And so we count it a privilege to be able to serve our community through coaching and ministry.
I think, again, like Roosevelt said, where we are 33 years later is such a different place than we were before. a lot of what we have experienced in our life is the preparation that we had before we got married, and then really using those things that our pastor inspired and encouraged us to use. And this is the man, I said that when I met him, he's the man that lives a life of integrity like no one that I know. And so having come from a place where my father, you know, left us, you have to get over those hurdles. But I'm thankful for him as a husband and as a father, and as we minister together to our community.
Thank y'all for an amazing show. Thank you, Latrice, for, you know, getting on this show and just keeping it real as you always do. And that's why you are one of my queens of intellect. I'll see all of y'all next Saturday, and share this show with anybody who needs to hear it. All I ask is that you think.